on Election Day in South Africa, May 2024. I was fortunate, which in our political context, our political history, is not a coincidence, to be living in a suburb where the polling station was a block away. I walked over three times, and once the queue had subsided, I stood in line. Now, there was a little girl and her tired mother were in front of me. And she, the little girl, not the mother, was rambling on all about her Barbie doll. And that, for me, was the most memorable part of the day. Now, I thought of this while reading The Deal, Inside the Talks That Shaped South Africa by Mandy Wiener, because the lead-up to the day, the events of the day, and the aftermath were anything but unmemorable. The book reads like a political thriller. And here I have to pause and say, if you follow the news, are in the know about politics and current affairs, this riveting book, which goes behind the scenes into boardrooms, politicians' bathrooms, and looks at WhatsApp messages, the book is obviously for you. It has all the insights and a wealth of material. But if you're like me, who votes, sees the results, and then does a little bit of a ostrich in the sand routine until the next election, this book is even more for you. Why? Because Mandy Wiener is at heart a storyteller. She writes about people, about the negotiations, in a way we can understand because she makes the characters so relatable and we get drawn into the political story because of the people. We start to understand just what it took to form a government of national unity. And while I was reading this book, I thought of this giant jigsaw puzzle. All the parties and players having a piece that needs to fit into the next groove, and a thread that runs through is the image of our president, whom Mandy secured an interview with. How did the author piece it all together? Well, Mandy is joining us over Zoom to explain. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Now, you've in your own words described yourself as having this insatiable curiosity. Do you feel that writing this book, you managed to quench that curiosity?
Oh, yes, I do think so. And the way you describe it as a giant jigsaw puzzle is exactly the way that I describe it, because I had to reconstruct a timeline. I was curious about what was going on in these boardrooms, in politicians' homes, behind the scenes, behind the political veil. So I set about interviewing dozens of politicians and trying to reconstruct that timeline, working out where the meetings happened, how long were the meetings, who was in the meeting, were there peppermints on the table, what color was the carpet in the room, what were they eating? And every single piece was like a little jigsaw puzzle. And you mentioned the interview with the president. That for me was the final piece. So I had this full puzzle that I had constructed, and there was this gaping hole of an interview with the president. And literally as this book was about to go to print, I got a message to say he'll do an interview with you the next day. And I felt like that was the final piece of the puzzle, and it was so satisfying.
And that really does link all the different stories together, because there's so much. And you talk about the detail. I was smelling the fresh, magnificent roses. Where was it? In the Westcliff, I think, that fancy boardroom.
At the Enthoven's home.
Yes.
And the roses that had been sent to Helen Ziller after the president had been elected, these magnificent golden roses, the bouquet that she had received in gratitude. And I really do pay attention to detail like that, because I think it makes the story more vivid. And that meant, you know, it's very different doing an interview for radio and doing an interview for a book. You have the luxury of being able to ask the detail. What was the weather like that day? Do you remember what you ate at that particular meeting? Because it really takes people into the room.
And the hem of Helen Ziller's coat having to be threaded up. It's that sort of detail that, as I said, brings you in. You get a feeling for the characters. Talking about the characters, now I'm usually cynical about politicians. But there's a quote by Cyril Ramaphosa, and he says, choosing to challenge the outcome would have weakened democracy. And one does get a sense the politicians and some of the players and the parties in this book do at some stage place the country's agenda before their own. Would this be an accurate assessment?
I was very impressed by how the politicians were committed to the cause, how they were willing to, and everyone was exhausted. Sibiwe Gwahube from the DA speaks about how she was almost dysfunctional because she was so exhausted at the time, but they had to continue. And the thing that impressed me the most about the politicians was how they were so committed to stability and ensuring that there was a government and what they had to do to meet this deadline. I felt that they did sacrifice themselves. And the meetings that took place, staying awake in the early hours of the morning, making sure that they could get this deal over the line in the interests of the country. That was the one part of the story that I felt was important to get across, because we're so cynical in South Africa. We always assume that our politicians are incompetent and corrupt and incapable. And I think that what this book shows is actually they were pretty capable, and what they achieved was remarkable. If you think about what happened in South Africa, there was a democratic process. It was largely peaceful. The judiciary presided. Law enforcement was in place. There was a rule of law, and we elected a government. There was effectively a peaceful transition of power. It takes other countries 18 months to do that. We did it in 14 days.
One assumes the worst, and reading a book like this, one thinks, ooh, we're being a little bit cynical. And sometimes one does get the best out of people. I loved the humor in the book, the shower scene with Gait and Mackenzie. I mean, that it was, I mean, you couldn't make that sort of stuff up. It was absolutely hysterical, and I'm not going to tell people about it on air because you actually have to read the book. You have to buy the book to get to Gait and Mackenzie's shower. Mandy, you had to deal with so much. Do you personally use humor as a way of coping?
Oh, yeah. And journalists famously have very dark humor. So we make terrible jokes about very, very serious things. And I think humor is so important. You need levity. I'm a big believer in light and shade when it comes to the media. I think that so much of what I do is very serious, and it has to be. We hold power to account. We call out politicians. We speak about crime and corruption and malfeasance and wrongdoing. But I think there needs to be a lightness that goes along with the shade. So for me, it's really important to speak about what I call the hope dealers in South Africa. It's important to tell lighter stories, to bring humor into it. And even in my keynotes that I do at conferences, people often remark that I'm funnier than they think I should be, because that we have to poke fun at ourselves as well. That's the beauty of South Africans, is that we are able to laugh at ourselves.
And you've dedicated your book for all the hope dealers, which is quite beautiful. What was the most challenging part of writing this? And there must have been so many challenges.
Getting people to speak to me. All of these, a lot of these people are cabinet ministers now, and I have thrown themselves into their jobs and are exceptionally busy. So getting them to commit to a time, having to find time in their schedules, the logistics of doing that was incredibly difficult. I did not get everyone to speak to me. Some people just blue-ticked me. Other people declined. In the end, I spoke to, I think, 27 politicians that did 100 hours of interviews. So the logistics of it, sometimes you had to go through the official channels, then you had to go through the back channels, then you had to get a businessman who knows someone to speak to somebody or call in a favor with someone. So that, I think, was the biggest challenge, was coordinating that.
Where to from here, both? Where do you think our government's going to go to from here? And then you, what's your next project? So that's two questions.
So I think that the government of national unity will hold together for the immediate future. I think going into the local government elections, it's going to get very, very messy, and we're going to see all kinds of mudslinging, but I believe the government of national unity will hold together. A lot of it is going to depend on succession in both the ANC and the DA. Who becomes president after Ramaphosa? Does John Steenhuisen stay on at the DA? So I think those are the crucial road signs that we need to pass in South Africa. For me personally, well, this country never ceases to deliver all kinds of content. I am pretty spent after
Sure.
this book. It was a huge amount of work, so I'm not sure. I've been debating writing fiction at this point, or children's
Ooh.
fiction, because I just need to change pace, I think, after 7 books.
Wow, and I think you'll be a great fiction writer because I just finished reading the latest Louise Penny books and I went straight from Louise Penny into The Deal and I was thinking at some stage I was getting confused. What's real? What was fiction? So, yes, we look forward to reading your fiction book. Mandy Wiener, thank you so
You know,
much.
but I'm not sure that people would believe the fiction, because truth is stranger than fiction in this country.
On that happy note, that funny note, The Deal, Inside the Talks That Shaped South Africa's Future by Mandy Wiener. Thank you. The Deal is published by Pan Macmillan. FM.